The second question. You spoke in several recent discourses on the no problem, non-existence of our problems. Having been brought up in a repressive Catholic family and having spent 21 years in an equally crazy educational system, are you saying that all the coats of armor, all the conditionings, and all the repressions do not exist, can be dropped immediately, now? What about all the imprints left on the brain, on the musculature of the body? This is a very significant question. It is from Jayananda. The question is significant because it shows two different approaches about the inner reality of man. The Western approach is to think about the problem, to find the causes of the problem, to go into the history of the problem, into the past of the problem, to uproot the problem from the very beginning, to uncondition the mind, or to recondition the mind, to recondition the body, to take out all those imprints that have been left on the brain. This is the Western approach. Psychoanalysis goes into the memory. It works there. It goes into your childhood, into your past. It moves backwards. It finds out from where the problem has arisen. Maybe 50 years before, when you were a child, the problem arose in your relationship with your mother. Then psychoanalysis will go back. 50 years of history. It is a very long, dragging affair. And even then, it doesn't help much. Because there are millions of problems. It is not only a question of one problem. You can go into one problem's history. You can look into your autobiography and find out causes. For one problem, maybe you can eliminate it. But there are millions of problems. If you start going into each problem, to solve one life's problem, you will need millions of lives. Let me repeat it. To solve one life's problems, you will have to be born again and again millions of times. This is almost impractical. This cannot be done. And all those millions of lives, when you will be solving problems of this life, those lives will create their own problems. And so on and so forth. You will be dragged more and more into the problems. This is absurd. Now, the same psychoanalytical approach has gone into the body. Rolfing, bioenergetics, and other methods are there which try to eliminate imprints on the body in the musculature. Again, you have to go into the history of the body. But one thing is certain about both the approaches, which are on the same logical pattern, that the problem comes from the past. So somehow it has to be tackled in the past. Man's mind has always been trying to do two impossible things. One is to reform the past, which cannot be done. The past has happened. You cannot really go into the past. When you think of going into the past, at the most you go into the memory of it. It is not the real past. It is just the memory. The past is no more there, so you cannot reform it. This is one of the impossible goals of humanity. Man has suffered very much because of it. You want to undo the past. How can you undo it? The past is absolute. The past means all potentiality of it is finished. It has become actual. Now there is no more any potentiality to reform it, to undo it, to redo it. You cannot do anything with the past. And the second impossible idea that has always dominated human mind is to establish the future, which cannot be done again. Future means that which is not yet. You cannot establish it. Future remains unestablished. Future remains open. Future is pure potentiality. Unless it happens, you cannot be certain about it. Past is pure actuality. It has happened. Now nothing can be done about it. Between these two, man stands in the present, always thinking of the impossibles. He wants to make everything certain about the future, about tomorrow, which cannot be done. Let it sink as deeply in your heart as possible. It cannot be done. Don't waste your present moment for making future certain. Future is uncertainty. That is the very quality of future. And don't waste your time looking back. Past has happened. It is a dead phenomenon. Nothing can be done about it. What at the most you can do is you can reinterpret it. That's all. That's what psychoanalysis is doing. Reinterpreting it. Reinterpretation can be done. But past remains the same. Psychoanalysis and astrology. Astrology tries to make somehow the future certain. And psychoanalysis tries to redo the past. Both are not sciences. Both things are impossible, but both have millions of followers because man likes it that way. He wants to be certain about the future, so he goes to the astrologer. He consults I Ching. He goes to a tarot reader. And there are 1,001 ways to fool oneself, to deceive oneself. And then there are people who say they can change the past. He consults them also. These two things, once dropped, you become free of all sorts of foolishnesses. Then you don't go to the psychoanalyst and you don't go to the astrologer. Then you know past is finished, you be also finished with it. And the future has not happened. Whenever it will happen, we will see. Nothing can be done about it right now. You can only destroy the present moment, which is the only moment available, real. The West has been continuously looking into the problems, how to solve them. The West takes the problems very seriously. And when you are going in a certain logic, given the premises, that logic looks perfect. I was just reading one anecdote. A great philosopher, and a world-renowned mathematician is aboard an aeroplane. He is sitting in his seat and thinking great mathematical problems when suddenly an announcement comes from the captain. I am sorry, there will be a slight delay. Engine number one has now cut out and we are flying on three engines. About 10 minutes later, another announcement. I am afraid there will be further delay. Engines two and three have cut out and there is only number four left. So the philosopher turns to the fellow sitting next to him and says, good golly, if the other one cuts out, we will be up here all night. When you are thinking in a certain line, the very direction of it makes things possible, absurd things also possible. Once you have taken human problems very seriously, once you start thinking about man as a problem, you have accepted some premise. You have taken the first step wrongly. Now you can go into the direction and you can go on and on. Now such a great literature has come up in this century about mind phenomenon, psychoanalysis. Millions of papers are written and treatises and books. Once Freud opened the doors of a certain logic, it has dominated the whole century. The East has a totally different outlook. First, it says no problem is serious. The moment you say no problem is serious, the problem is almost 99% dead. Your whole vision changes about it. The second thing the East says, the problem is there because you are identified with it. It has nothing to do with the past, nothing to do with its history. You are identified with it. That is the real thing. And that is the key to solve all problems. For example, you are an angry person. If you go to the psychoanalyst, he will say, go into the past. How this anger arose? In what situations it became more and more conditioned and imprinted on your mind? We will have to wash out all those imprints. We will have to wipe them off. We will have to clean your past completely. If you go to an Eastern mystic, he will say, you think that you are anger, you feel identified with the anger, that is where things are going wrong. Next time anger happens, you just be a watcher. You just be a witness. You don't get identified with the anger. Don't say, I am anger. Don't say, I am angry. Just see it happening as if it is happening on a TV screen. Look at yourself as if you are looking at somebody else. You are pure consciousness. When the cloud of anger comes around you, just watch it and remain alert so that you don't get identified. The whole thing is how not to become identified with the problem. Once you have learnt it, and then there is not a question about so many problems, because the key, the same key will open all the locks. It is so with anger, it is so with greed, it is so with sex, it is so with everything else that the mind is capable of. It says just remain unidentified. Remember, that's what Gurdjieff means when he says self-remembering. Remember that you are a witness. Be mindful, that's what Buddha says. Be alert that a cloud is passing by. Maybe the cloud comes from the past, but that is meaningless. It must have a certain past. It cannot come just out of the blue. It must be coming from a certain sequence of events, but that is irrelevant. Why be bothered about it? Right now, this very moment, you can become detached from it. You can cut yourself away from it. The bridge can be broken right now, and it can be broken only in the now. Going into the past won't help. 30 years before, the anger arose and you got identified with it that day. Now, you cannot get unidentified with that past. It is no more there. But you can get unidentified this moment, this very moment. And then the whole series of angers of your past is no more part of you. The question is relevant. Jayananda has asked, you spoke in several recent discourses on no problem, non-existence of our problems. Having been brought up in a repressive Catholic family, you can right now become a non-Catholic. Now, I say. You will not have to go back and undo whatsoever your parents and your society and the priest and the church has done. That will be sheer wastage of precious present time. In the first place, it has destroyed many years. Now again, it will be destroying your present moments. You can simply drop out of it, just as a snake slips out of the old skin. Having been brought up in a repressive Catholic family and having spent 21 years in an equally crazy educational system, are you saying that all the coats of armor, all the conditionings and all the repressions do not exist? No, they exist. But they exist either in the body or in the brain. They don't exist in your consciousness because the consciousness cannot be conditioned. Consciousness remains free. Freedom is its innermost quality. Freedom is its nature. In fact, even asking it, you are sowing that freedom. When you say, 21 years in a crazy educational system, when you say, having been brought up in a repressive Catholic family, in this moment, you are not identified. You can look so many years of Catholic repression, so many years of a certain education. In this moment when you are looking at it, this consciousness is no more Catholic, otherwise who will be aware? If you had really become Catholic, then who will be aware? Then there was no possibility of becoming aware. If you can say 21 years in an equally crazy educational system, one thing is certain, you are not yet crazy. The system has failed. It didn't work. Jayananda, you are not crazy. Hence you can see the whole system as crazy. A madman cannot see that he is mad. Only a sane person can see that this is madness. To see madness as madness, sanity is needed. Those 21 years of crazy system have failed. That all repressive conditioning has failed. It cannot really succeed. It succeeds only in the proportion you get identified with it. Any moment you can stand aloof, it is there. I am not saying it is not there, but it is no more part of your consciousness. This is the beauty of consciousness. Consciousness can slip out of anything. There is no barrier to it, no boundary to it. Just a moment before, you were an Englishman understanding the nonsense of nationalism, a second letter, you are no more an Englishman. I am not saying that your white skin will change. It will remain white. But you are no more identified with the whiteness. You are no more against the black. You see the stupidity of it. I am not saying that just by seeing that you are no more an Englishman, you will forget English language. No. It will still be there in your memory. But your consciousness has slipped out. Your consciousness is standing on a hillock, looking at the valley. Now the Englishman is dead in the valley, and you are standing on the hills, far away, unattached, untouched. The whole Eastern methodology can be reduced to one word, witnessing. And the whole Western methodology can be reduced to one thing, analyzing. Analyzing, you go round and round. Witnessing, you simply get out of the circle. Analysis is a vicious circle. If you really go into analysis, you will be simply puzzled how it is possible. If, for example, you try to go into the past, where you will end? Where exactly? If you go into the past, where your sexuality started? When you were 14 years of age, but then it came out of the blue, it must have been getting ready in the body. So when? When you were born, but then when you were in the mother's womb, was not it getting ready? Then when? The moment you got conceived, but before that, half of your sexuality was maturing your mother's egg, and half of the sexuality was maturing in your father's sperm. Now go on. Where you will end? You will have to go to Adam and Eve. And even then, it does not end. You will have to go to Father God himself. Why in the first place he created Adam? Analysis will always remain half. So analysis never helps anybody really. It cannot help. It makes you a little more adjusted to your reality. That's all. It is a sort of adjustment. It helps you to attain a little bit of understanding about your problems, their genesis, how they have arisen. And that little intellectual understanding helps you to adjust with the society better. But you remain the same person. There is no transformation through it. There is no radical change through it. Witnessing is a revolution. It is a radical change from the very roots. It brings a totally new man into existence. Because it takes your consciousness out of all the conditionings. Conditionings are there in the body and in the mind, but consciousness remains unconditioned. It is pure, always pure. It is virgin. Its virginity cannot be violated. The Eastern approach is to make you mindful of this virgin consciousness, of this purity, of this innocence. That's what Sarha is saying to the king again and again. Our emphasis is on the sky, and the Western emphasis is on the clouds. Clouds have a genesis. If you find out from where they come, you will have to go to the ocean, then to the sun rays and the evaporation of the water and the clouds forming, and you can go on, but it will be moving in a circle. The clouds form, then again they come, fall in love with the trees, start pouring again into the earth, become rivers, go to the ocean, start evaporating, rising again on sun rays, become clouds, again fall on the earth. It goes on and on, round and round and round. It is a wheel. From where you will be out, one thing will lead to another, and you will be in the wheel. The sky has no genesis. The sky is uncreated. It is not produced by anything. In fact, for anything to be, a sky is needed as a must, a priori. It has to exist before anything else can exist. You can ask the Christian theologian. He says God created the world. Ask him whether before he created the world there was a sky or not. If there was no sky, where God used to exist? He must have needed a space. If there was no space, where he created the world, where he put the world, space is a must, even for God to exist. You cannot say God created a space. That will be absurd, because then he will not have any space to exist. Space must precede God. Sky has always been there. The Eastern approach is to become mindful of the sky. The Western approach makes you more and more alert of the clouds and helps you a little, but it doesn't make you aware of your innermost core. Circumference, yes, you become a little more aware of the circumference, but not aware of the center. And the circumference is a cyclone. You have to find the center of the cyclone. And that happens only through witnessing. Witnessing will not change your conditioning. Witnessing will not change your body musculature. But witnessing will simply give you an experience that you are beyond all musculature, all conditioning. In that moment of beyondness, in that moment of transcendence, no problem exists. Not for you. And now it is up to you. The body will still carry the musculature, and the mind will still carry the conditioning. Now up to you. If sometimes you are hankering for the problem, you can get into the mind body and have the problem and enjoy it. If you don't want to have it, you can remain out. The problem will remain as an imprint in the body-mind phenomenon, but you will be aloof and away from it. That's how a Buddha functions. You also use memory. A Buddha also uses memory, but he is not identified with it. He uses memory as a mechanism. For example, I am using language. When I have to use language, I use the mind and all the imprints. But continuously, I am not the mind. That awareness is there. So I remain the boss. The mind remains a servant. When the mind is called, it comes. Its utility is there. But it cannot dominate. So your question is right. Problems will exist, but they will exist only in the seed form in the body and the mind. How can you change your past? You have been a Catholic in the past. If for 40 years you have been a Catholic, how can you change those 40 years and not be a Catholic? No. Those 40 years will remain as a period of being Catholic. Now, but you can slip out of it. Now you know that that was just identification. Those 40 years cannot be destroyed. And there is no need to destroy them. If you are the master of the house, there is no need. You can use even those 40 years in a certain way, in a creative way. Even that crazy education can be used in a creative way. What about all the imprints left on the brain, on the musculature of the body? They will be there, but as a seed, potentially there. If you feel too much lonely and you want problems, you can have. If you feel too much miserable without misery, you can have. They will remain always available. But there is no need to have them. There is no necessity to have them. It will be your choice. The future of humanity will have to decide whether it has to go on the path of analysis or it has to change to the path of witnessing. I use both methods. I use analysis. Particularly, seekers who come from the West, I put them in the groups. Those groups are analytical. Those groups are by products of psychoanalysis. They have grown. Freud will not be able to recognize encounters if he comes. Our primal therapy will be difficult for him to recognize that what is happening. Have all these people gone mad? But they are offshoots of his work. He was the pioneer. Without him, there will be no primal therapy. He started the whole game. When Western people come to me, I put them into the groups. That is good for them. They should start what is easier for them. Then by and by, slowly I change. First they go into cathartic groups like encounter, primal therapy. And then I start putting them into intensive enlightenment. Then vipassana. Vipassana is a witnessing. From encounter to vipassana, there is a great synthesis. When you move from encounter to vipassana, you are moving from west to east.